Red. It's awesome!
Clash. Yeah. Hello everyone, welcome back to Riot Talks Clash. I am Sam here, and I am joined by a very, very special guest today. We have Clash Ninja from the very popular site Clash Ninja. Also joined by Congressman Cool Rick and Spencer Saurus here on a Sunday, which is very unusual. Usually we go for a Friday, but we have a big update coming. We have now finished 3 days of sneak peeks for the June 2023 summer update, and we've got a lot to unpack. We've got new troops, new levels, new defense levels, new balance changes, new everything. So lots to unpack. But let's start with Ninja. Ninja, we've had you on before. Always is a pleasure. And I think most people know who you are, but if you just want to give yourself a really quick introduction, then go for it.
Hello. Yes, I'm Ninja. I'm the developer of the Clash.Ninja website, primarily known for the upgrade tracker, where people can keep track of their progress of their villages and plan out what they want to complete next.
Awesome. Yeah, well, it's a very helpful tool. So, for a quick question, is the site ready for the updates? Are you ready to go for tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it releases?
Pretty much, yep. Anyone who's been using it over the last couple of days will have seen the new levels for Town Hall 15 and the new Dark Barracks are already there. And there'll be a few little tweaks before when the game update goes live, but pretty much ready.
You know what I thought was so funny, Ninja? I saw people were saying that you leaked the Dark Barracks just because you put it on your thing.
Which absolutely,
was so funny. Because it was just a new level. And, yeah, I thought that was so funny.
It is kind of weird how they did that, because they put the Dark Barracks level in the first sneak peek, but not the new Dark Troop until the third.
Oh, it's funny because I don't think that's the first time they've done that. They often do, I think, almost every update they do that. They will have the new barracks level, they'll post that, and then they'll go, question mark, before it unlocks, and then we get that a bit later on. So I don't think that's exactly a new thing.
Ninja, how long is all the new stuff going to take us, assuming we're coming into it max Town Hall 15?
Right, I think if you're already maxed up until as of today, your builders will be busy for the next 3 months. So that includes all the new defense levels, new hero levels and things which your builders will work on. The lab's getting a lot of stuff added. We're looking at around 9.5 months of troop upgrades and things to research. And the pets are just shy of 3 months, looking at 2 months and 20 days. But let's keep in mind that doesn't include any gold pass boosts, doesn't include any magic items or CWL medal usage or anything like that. So realistically, those times could probably be halved if people who are maxed sitting on magic items and trophies already and league medals already.
Wow. So you said 3 months of builder time, assuming 6 builders, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And then 9.5 months of lab time?
Yes.
Wow, so even like funneling all your magic items into the lab, that's still a ton.
It is, yeah. I mean, keep in mind that the biggest win will be purchasing 3 research potions per week with your raid medals. Mm-hmm. So that will take, I think I've worked out, roughly 41% off your lab. So even before you start using hammers and things, you've almost halved it.
Wow, that is impressive. And in terms of the other town halls, because we also got some cost reductions for, I think, town hall 13 and 12, am I right in saying? How much shorter have they got in terms of going from starts and max?
That's a good question. I was hoping to have these numbers ready for this podcast, but unfortunately I didn't. On average, it's about a 14% reduction. But I will process the actual numbers and get them shared on the sub later this evening, so we can get some hard numbers behind it.
That's funny. We probably should have told you that, Sam, and adjusted that question because Sam. Yeah, Sam is not in our group chat because we often talk about the top secret stuff. Oh,
yeah,
that was our bad, buddy.
Yeah, wow, you sold me out there.
But, no, so also like I was looking, I pulled up my Clash Ninja profile just to see everything too. Like the amount of resources is just bananas too. I'm fully max 15, 398 million gold, 272 million elixir. A billion of mixed resources just for the walls, and then 11.25 million dark elixir.
Oh my gosh.
So, and just a little bit. Chipping away at that 500,000 at a time in Legends is going to take a whole lot of time. But also, like, I don't know, I've never really had a problem keeping builders busy just from being in Legends League, so It sounds like giant numbers, but it's probably really not that bad.
Yeah, especially when you think if you start using hammers on your heroes, which the Town Hall 15 players with 2,500 league medals probably will use, that's going to save like 300,000 a pop plus, which really takes a chunk out of that resource bill.
What are you guys going to do first?
Oh, I mean, I want the new troop, right? We can discuss this more later, but I think I'm going to get barracks done quite quickly. And I do want to start my heroes and pets and whatever quickly, because they will just take a stupidly long time. But honestly, I haven't started properly formulating a plan. Have any of you?
When I first saw the sneak peek, I saw the Eagle Artillery. I was like, oh, I'll probably just hammer that because that's usually the longest. And then when I saw Ninja's time thing, I saw it was 8 months for the lab. So like you guys mentioned, I'm just going to put all my magic items to that. So I don't really have a plan right now.
Rick, have you got any grand plans?
So I have been hoarding magic items through like when there's a good deal. So I have a ton of stuff. I have like 11 hero books so far, you know, 6, 7, 8 of each kind of rune. But I'm not going to spend any of that. I'm only going to do league medals, and I'm saving all of my excess magic items for Town Hall 16, like 9 months from now. So this one's going to take me longer than probably normal, but I don't know. Like I'm okay with that. But I'm going to be super far into 16 day one, though, so hopefully it pays off and is worth it. Day one, I'm going to do... I was playing a lot of dragons in the dev build. The new dragon level I like a lot. Healer and queen, just to start doing queen charges, especially with the new hog rider. The new hog rider level and the super hog. I'm probably going to hammer hogs and dragons immediately. Start the queen, start the healer. Do those probably slow. And then... defense-wise, I'll just hammer the eagle and start the rest of the stuff, like, slow build as I can. Also really annoyed because, like, I should have known better, especially since we knew the update was coming for the last couple weeks. I've still been running my forge like an idiot and burning off season bank. For the lower town halls, like 13 and 14, what would you think the priorities would be?
I mean, for those guys in this update, not much has changed other than the introduction of the Super Hog and the new Dark Troop. I would say if you haven't already got your Hogs upgraded and you like using Hybrid, that's definitely good. I think the Super Hog Rider will definitely fill a role at those lower levels as well as at Town Hall 15. But other than that, I think just pretty much continue with your current plans of how you're planning on to progress through those Town Hall levels.
Lovely. Well, should we take a proper look at the actual new content that we got announced? I guess it makes sense to start with sneak peek number one, which was all the new levels for stuff. But is there any level, any, you know, change or anything that really stood out to you guys?
I think for me, it's the new healer and new hero levels. It was quite tough to do a strong queen charge at Town Hall 15 because the monolith is absolutely savage against the queen. There was a lot of new defense levels, especially single point target defenses. So the healer and the heroes getting a boost will be a big help for that.
It was so much in that first sneak peek too. It's 6 defenses, like 2 of which I guess are traps only. 10 troop levels, 2 spells, 2 siege machines got a level, and 2 pets, and it's a ton.
Yeah, I mean, like, as a little point there, it's interesting that now siege machines aren't all the same level. You know, we've always had level 4 being the max at every single siege, but now obviously we got a bit of deviation, so I wonder if that'll make those 2 sieges more viable. I mean, I think there are certain troops though, like, for example, the Valkyrie. Like, yeah, they've gotten a buff. Right, they've gotten a ton of extra health, but troops like that, can you ever actually conceivably see them coming back into the meta, no matter what Supercell does to them? Because it always feels like every other update, we get some sort of Valkyrie buff, and still nobody uses them.
I know Trample Damage was really excited about the new Valk. He'll probably talk about it a lot on his next podcast coming up. But like Valk got a much more significant bump than most of the other troops. Looking at DPS and health, a lot of this stuff is like 5-6%. Valk got 7.21% increase. And thanks to Godly for sending me this cool little infographic. Yeah, Valk got a much more significant buff than a lot of other stuff. Trample's been doing this Sarch into Mass Valk attack, and I watched him do it a few times in the dev build, and it looks decently strong, at least on ring bases. Super Valk, I think, is still trash, and nothing's going to change that.
Well, another change we got was the clone spell. It's not too big, but there is one thing I want to point out. We got 4 more capacity, and first thing people want to put in there's probably another balloon, which would be 5. But with the +4, we're now up to 40 capacity for a clone spell, which means we could now clone 2 dragons or 1 super dragon. Do you guys think this is something you might see some players doing?
I mean, who wants to clone 2 dragons? Like, genuine question. I can't really see the value, because people clone balloons, for example, because of the instant huge damage you got. You know, back in the 10 or 14 days, you would drop your blimp and it would wipe, you know, say the core of the base, get the town hall, blah, yada, yada, yada. People clone super archers because you want a lot of them to quickly try to take as many defense as possible. But dragons don't really have that kind of impact. You know, dragon spam in general is a dying attack at 10 or 15. And even then, I can't see why you would want to do that over being able to have, say, a Rage and a Freeze with dragons, which I think is far more impactful than having 2 extra for a limited amount of time.
I think the scenario that I would personally benefit from in that is I will often use clones over the Town Hall at Town Hall 15, and I'll have a Dragon Rider and balloons in the blimp. And if you lose the dice roll and the Dragon Rider gets cloned, with the current level of the spell, you would lose out on a balloon being cloned. With this new rebalance, you could then clone a Dragon Rider and 3 balloons, and that would give you that extra balloon in that situation.
Right. That is a very good point. I mean, I'm not really one for dragon spam and for those kind of attacks, so I guess I don't really see the use case there. But yeah, overall, I can't see it being hugely impactful on the meta.
It's kind of weird to see it get a buff too, because clone was being used a lot already. It didn't get enough of a buff to give you an extra super archer. So yeah, you will get an extra loon if Hydra comes back, which I think it kind of will with the dragon level. Is the clone spell, is that Town Hall 15 only, or is that?
Yeah, it's Town Hall 15 upgrade.
Okay. So yeah, like at least what we're seeing it used for now is really just like super archers and sometimes balloons. So you get an extra loon. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference, but it will just be all the nicer when we're all going back to Town Hall 14 style Hydras.
I really hope we don't go back to that, because that was the most boring meta ever.
I did see one thing. A lot of people were kind of upset that the Dragon Rider didn't get a new level.
Yeah, I mean, they fell. I still see them occasionally, but yeah, they fell out of the meta a lot at Town Hall 15. I remember that attack strategy where you were sneaking up in the Town Hall, do some bat spells, and Dragon Riders and whatnot, the Soham special, I think it was called, Soham attack, and that has completely fallen off. So yeah, that is somewhat surprising they haven't tried to bring it back into the meta. But moving away from troops, what about defenses? We've got basically new levels for everything that didn't get a new level at the original Town 15 launch, apart from the Air Sweeper, which hopefully lives in a world which never gets a new level, because that would be incredibly annoying. But what are you guys scared of? You know, we got new scat levels, eagle levels, etc. What are you really worried about facing?
The scatter, I know, got enough health boost to where we're not going to be able to hit it with the 6-in-1 Zapquake anymore. So that's kind of significant. I'm curious how that's going to affect base design. Like, overall, like Zap Titan, like, not a whole lot of that is getting a buff. Heroes and healers obviously got help. Like, Zap Titan is kind of, feels like it's going to be in the same spot. I know, like, I'm not a pro Zap Titan player, but I was never looking purposely to zap a scatter. If it was there, of course, you know, you hit it and get that extra value, but I don't know that it really harms that strategy as a whole. The eagle level is just scary overall.
I mean, I think it's also worth considering with these new defense levels is also the Rage Tower, because the Rage Tower has already made these defenses, which, you know, at their current levels, incredibly scary, right? A Rage Scatter can literally wipe Hog Riders, it can wipe loons off the map. A Raged Eagle, if you don't, you know, say you're doing a Queen Charge and that Raged Eagle locks onto your Queen, you've got to be really careful about not losing her instantly. And I think now with the added buffs to these defenses and levels, plus the Rage Tower, we're going to be looking at quite a scary set of defenses, I think.
That might kind of be balanced out by the Rage Tower nerf that's coming. It's going to do, instead of 100% increase in damage, it's going to only do 90%. So, and most of those defenses, I don't think, got a 10% bump in damage anyway. So they might end up a little weaker overall, even under the new Rage Tower.
Looking at previous updates, there's normally a bit of a TikTok effect where one update will come out which will make defenses a lot stronger, and then the following update will make offense a lot stronger. And this update was very much offense heavy to try and help improve those hit rates and make it a little bit easier across the board, looking at the numbers that I've seen.
What was said overall a ton in the creator chat was that one of the goals, like probably the biggest goal of this update, was to bring up the Town Hall 15 triple rate, and just the amount of troop levels and the percentage buffs on those. Like, I'm definitely confident that we're all going to be tripling a lot more now.
I hope so.
Yeah, especially with the balance changes we'll get to later.
Do you guys think the levels for the siege machines or pets actually matter?
No, I can't see how they will.
I gotta say, I think the 5 levels for the 2 pets do matter. And we'll probably definitely see a change for usage for both of those. And that's just because both Lassie and Yak, they actually got a really big percentage upgrade difference. Both of them got around 21% more damage and 14% more health, which is pretty big compared to all the other upgrades we see. And with those, obviously, they're not going to become full-time usage pets, but I expect we'll see the percentage usage rates for those definitely go up.
I'm gonna have to disagree with that. I still cannot see a scenario where you wouldn't take, for example, the Diggy over the Lassie. I literally cannot see a scenario. I mean, yeah, for example, Lassie got 21% more damage, but that's 21% of what wasn't already much damage. Yeah, while 20% on paper sounds like a lot, the Lassie doesn't do much damage. And when it can't stun defenses, I don't see the reason for taking it. And as for the Yak, I mean, maybe? We had the Phoenix, mainly on the King, and the Frosty, and I still can't see a reason to use the Yak, especially since the Yak got that huge nerf months ago to remove its splash damage. I mean, I can't personally see a scenario when I would ever take them. If you can find one, then please do enlighten me, but I really don't see these levels mattering.
If you're using a King and the RC on the back end to clean up when you've got, you know, as the end of your attack, if there's stuff that's in box compartments, the Yak can be handy just for helping get access to those. I mean, obviously the RC can jump over and clear them, but just having the King keeping up with her so that he can tank a bit for her, there is definitely situations where the Yak still has a role.
Yak is nice for getting through walls with the King. I can see, like I will normally avoid trying to have the King pound through walls on, especially in like box bases where there's just a lot of small compartments. Having a more powerful Yak to get through walls, I can see potentially mattering. Lassie, I think, is still completely pointless. Just like Lassie needs an ability, not just a stat boost. Or if it's going to be just a stat boost, it needed a lot more, just because it doesn't do enough DPS to make up for Diggy's stun. Like, having Diggy interrupt like an Inferno Beam is massive too. Like, and just a little bit more DPS. It is almost double the DPS of Diggy, but I don't know, the stun is just too powerful and important. Yeah, Lassie at Town 14 is still a great option. Like, everyone kind of dogs on Lassie, but Lassie's only a problem at 15. So for all you 14s out there, like, don't totally ignore it unless you're gonna burn through it real fast.
I mean, can you ignore the Lassie at Town 14? You only have 4 pets.
Like, there's a lot of people who say, like, don't bother because you're never going to use it. But those are the people who are rushing through 14 anyway, which is probably good advice if you are going to 15 quick. But if you're going to spend any decent amount of time at 14, then, yeah, like, obviously get them all to 10.
Well, talking about pets, should we have a look at the new magic items that got announced? 2 new magic items, which is exciting. We got the pet potion and the Build a Star Jar. So, should we have a start with the pet potion? For anyone who doesn't know, somehow, it is essentially a research potion for pets. There's not much more to it, but it's a research potion that works on the pet house.
I think people have been asking for it for a long time. A town of 14, like the pet time is something like 7 months base, which means that normally by the end, you're still chugging away at working through pet upgrades when even when everything else is long done. So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are investing in those. Hopefully it'll be available from the trader shop so you can use your raid medals and maybe the league shop further down the line. But I think it'll be a popular potion.
It'll definitely be one that like I spend immediately all the time, but I'm not going to go, like, I'm definitely not buying gems for them.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I thought was, could they not have made a more multi-purpose research potion? I'm not suggesting that if you use your research potion, it applies to both the lab and the pet house simultaneously, but they could have just made the research potion also work for the pet house. Not that this spell is bad, but it was an option.
I kind of like there's two potions now, just because like we just got 9.5 months added to the lab and 3 months to pets, and like the like Ninja was saying earlier, the overall pet time is just ridiculous, especially now that we have 10 hero levels at 15 instead of the 5 I was expecting to have. It is nice to be able to run potions in both simultaneously without having to pick and choose, like you were saying.
I mean, if you look at if you're a fresh Town Hall 15 when this update comes out, it's looking at 9 months and 20 days of pet time alone. So, like, that is substantial.
That is staggering. How long now is the max time for Town 15, if you have that stat, if you're going from max Town 14 to max Town 15?
So if you're a brand new 15 when the update drops, I've got those numbers in front of me. So you're looking at about 11 months of builder time for your 6, which includes all your structures and your heroes. The lab is a monster. It's 20 months and 5 days. And then the pets are 9 months and 20. So basically, if you're a new Town Hall 15, you're either going to have to pick and choose which troops you upgrade, or you're going to have to do some serious hammer investment and magic item investment. But the main thing to take away from this is, with the 18-month update cycle, if you're a free-to-play player and you're looking at 11 months for your upgrades, that gives you a 5-month buffer of catch-up time. So these numbers are semi-friendly towards those free-to-play players, so there is some good news in there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, the 20 months should hopefully be offset by 3 research potions every week from the Clan Capital Trade Shop, so doesn't sound quite as terrible as it seems. But looking at the potion, we've got the Builder Star Jar. Now, I certainly wasn't expecting this. Yeah, pet potion has been something which has been requested for in some form for quite a while. But the Builder Star Jar, that was kind of completely out of the box. So, do we need it? Is this actually a helpful potion?
I think this is actually a really good magic item.
Yeah, it depends on how easy they are to get. Like, are they going to be, are they going to give us like one a month in clan games or gold pass? Or are we going to be able to buy them in the shop? But yeah, if we get a lot of them, like, it's definitely a game changer. You know, we talked when Blue Race first came out too. Like, I'm doing, to get the same amount of loot as my daily star bonus, I'm doing 10 to 12 extra attacks, and that's really doing them. That's, you know, with the second stage and everything, and it takes so much damn time. Oh, and it'll be nice to have an extra source of major loot without a whole lot of effort. It keeps the Builder Hall like a small little side game and not a major chunk of your time.
The first thing I checked in the dev build with it was how much it sells for, because I know a lot of people just sell their magic items for gems. And it does sell for 10 gems, which is the same as potions. So I assume if we were to buy it from the trader, it'd be the same amount for raid medals and gems. I know raid medals is 250 raid medals for a potion, right? And then for gems, I can't remember the price for those.
The only gem price one I know is the builder potion, because I think it's the only one worth even considering. And that's 285. Training potions are only 25. I don't know what the other potions are too, because it feels wild to even consider buying them for gems. Okay, apparently the research is 120. Thank you, goddess. Clock tower 75.
The more you know.
Now I'm curious what the gem cost is to reset the can you reset that time row gems and earn more loot?
No, you cannot.
Because you could skip the loot time in the old builder base to start getting loot again, but as far as I'm aware, no, there is no other way. There would be absolutely no point for that feature now, because you just buy one of these potions, so makes sense. Well, that's kind of sync pig one, I think, all covered. So that was the first day, first content drop we got. But now, let's have a look at sync pig number two, which was the Super Hog Rider, our latest super troop to add to the portfolio. You guys all had access to the dev build, and I heard there was a little funny story.
Yeah, this is something I've been wanting to talk about for a while, but us three, it was sometime during one of the builder base tests, we logged in, and Spencer's like, hey, there are new troops in the home village. And we looked, and they were just labeled A and B. Like, they didn't have any animations on them, didn't have any stats, they didn't actually show anything. In the spot that would have been a super hog was just a big letter A, and then all the way down at the end of the dark troops was a letter B. And when you used them, when you cooked troop A and used it, it was an unanimated hog rider. Then when it died, it split into a barb and a hog, right? So we were doing FCs, we're trying to figure out what exactly they were. Just from the position, like we all really thought it was a hog rider. But I just want to know, like, I feel like a total idiot just because in all those all our conversation and speculation, none of us said, oh, I bet it splits into a hog and a rider.
Yeah, I actually shocked we didn't figure that out. Yeah. Because like it's pretty easy to guess that a super hog rider would split into the two. And we saw it split into a barbarian and something else, and we did not put the two together.
Well, was it literally just a barbarian? It wasn't a barbarian that actually did different damage, was it? Was it literally just a straight barbarian?
It was like it looked like a mini hog rider that it split into, just as like placeholders because they hadn't fully loaded it up yet. I assume it was an accident that it slipped into the build because it was only there for like a day and then it was gone. But yeah, like occasionally little stuff like that slips in that they pull back out. I know I remember seeing like the Ice King skin months and months early. But before it was animated, it just like floated there stiffly and wandered, like it didn't swing. It just kind of like stood next to a building and the building exploded and then it slid on. And then I remember seeing the pixel scenery too and thinking like, oh, this is a really cool start to a scenery because obviously the rest of it's not filled in. And then like 6 months later it showed up. I was like, oh, wait, apparently that was done.
That it was
also free, so I can't really complain. Anyway, oh, and I guess like the B thing too. Yep. We were trying to figure out that was like it was the animation was just an archer, right?
Yeah, it was an archer with with the circle around it. So we knew it was a support troop because it was following the heroes, but we didn't know what that aura did.
Like you could tell it was doing something. Like I didn't know if it was healing. But we could definitely tell troops were taking less damage. Is at least that's what it looked like to me. But I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to see if you guys felt like idiots like I did.
Well, I mean, aside from being idiots and not knowing what you're on about, what would you actually think of the Super Hog Rider? Now it is actually a hog, not a barbarian.
Well, we did a test war with it, and I was a Town Hall 13 during it. And I figured, like, all I did was spam it and... I didn't get a 3-star, but I got like a very high 90. I easily could have got 3-star, but I didn't really try it as I should have. I think Ninja was also Town Hall 13, and he got a 3-star. So what do you think of the Hog Rider at Town Hall 13, Ninja?
My overall summary was, I struggled to see it being strong enough to justify using a super troop slot in order to house it compared to sticking with your regular hybrid of miners and hogs. It definitely seemed quite a reasonable super troop at that level, but I think I would rather use my super troop slot for something else at Tunnel 13.
I did see Itsu do a video on a couple, two or three strategies with the Super Hog Rider, where I think he had a Blizz Super Hog Rider, had Queen Charge Super Hog Rider, and Queen Charge Hybrid. And I mean, they all seemed to work pretty well. I'm pretty sure his Blizzard Hog Rider attack had very little planning in terms of he just chucked his heroes down, let them do whatever they wanted to do, and yet he still tripled. Now, obviously, Itsu is a great player, so maybe that's not entirely representative of the Super Hogs. But they do have some pretty good standout features. For example, if they hit a spring trap, they split into the Hog Rider and the Pig. They don't all go flinging up, so their spring traps are less effective on them. And also, another big thing was, like you said, you couldn't justify using a Super Hog instead of your other two Super Troops. But we can now cancel super troops. So while you obviously still can't have more than two in an army, there is less of a risk for taking a certain super troop, because now you're not stuck with it for 3 days. I mean, sure, you lose all the dark elixir, but you are not kind of restrained in the same way we used to be.
Yeah, that's definitely something the community has been requesting for a while, kind of like that pet potion.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Clan War League, for example, like, you get 7 different bases you need to hit every across a week, plus doing your multiplayer attacks in Legends. For example, my Legends attacks, I always want Seeking Goblins and Warbreakers, and if because of that, I can't really experiment much in CWL, but now, say if I see a base which I think, oh, the Super Hog Rider would absolutely smash that, screw a bit of Dark Elixir, I can cancel, and now I have so much more options at my fingertips, which is really, really good, because we were building up quite the host of Super Troops. I don't know exactly how many we have now, but it's quite a lot.
16.
16? Wow. And exactly, and that's a lot of troops, and when you're essentially restricted from 14 troops in the game, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of armies which you can't use. So, yeah, there's way more creative freedom now. It is huge.
I didn't watch too many of the test war attacks. Like, how, like Ninja, how are you seeing the super hogs used?
The ones I saw that did probably best was they were making up a large portion of the army. So there would maybe be a hero push taking out, you know, some of the key strategic targets, like maybe the Eagle and the Town Hall if it's on the edge. Some people were still using like a super archer blimp to get the core down. And then they would be using the super hogs to sort of take out the remaining defences. And the good thing was, as they would split along the way, you've then got the riders performing the role of the miner and doing a bit of cleanup, and with them getting the 2x wall boost, it does mean that they don't get hung up on the walls too much.
The ones I did see, especially the 3-stars, I think were mostly queen charge into mass super hogs. But I don't know, it's gonna be nice. Like, you only lose one to a spring trap instead of 3. They're strong. They kind of have their own cleanup built in a little bit with the rider and the hog. The rider does damage to walls, was it? And then the hog still jumps and still targets defenses, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not as good of self cleanup as like a hound would be, but it's something. I think it's gonna be really good at 13 and 14 for sure. 15, it's gonna still take a lot of skill to do. Not a lot. Like, Hybrid as a whole was already decent in the right hands. Hybrid itself just got a boost. Hybrid with super hogs, like with the new miner buff a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot of options, which is like really healthy state for the game, is when you have options instead of the 2 same attacks we've all been doing for 9 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's also quite a unique super troop, right? Because semi-often, the super troop isn't that unique. Like, I mean, think about the really basic ones, like the super barbarian, super giant. You know, it's just big giant, big barbarian almost. And then even with things like super bowlers, the actual superness wasn't that creative. I mean, a third bounce, yay. But I do quite like what they've done with the super hog rider. It kind of feels like they're in more new troop territory rather than super troop, with how it's actually quite different.
I do have a quick question before we move on to Sneak Peek 3. Do you guys think it will be a viable strategy, a super hybrid, where you use both super miners and super hog riders?
No, super miners suck. I think it's not going to fly. I think super miners, I mean, yeah, they got a little buff, but I don't think that will become a thing. I mean, I am slightly basing my opinion here off Itsu, who has obviously actually played the update and said it was not at all viable. So take that as you will.
It's a ton of troop space to do both.
Yeah, when I was testing it a lot at Town Hall 13, I found the most effective way was if you take your hybrid army, remove the hog riders and the miners and replace that with super miners. That seemed to give me the best performance rather than trying to mix and match super hog riders and miners, because the 12 troop space of the super hog riders means that you don't get money unless you dedicate, you know, a good chunk of your army to them.
The test war was Town Hall 10 all the way up to Town Hall 15, because they wanted to see if these troops were going to really be unbalanced at lower Town Hall level. So out of a clan castle on Town Hall 10 and 11, I think they're useless too. Just to throw that out there.
I mean, I could kind of see them having a value. They're 20 housing space or 10.
Yeah, Town Hall 10s and 11s can take two super hogs and then two regular hogs. But I would just rather have seven hogs, honestly.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, moving on from the super troop, should we take a look at the new actual troop, the Apprentice Warden, the B from the dev build. So obviously, for those who aren't quickly aware, that is basically literally a mini Grand Warden without the Warden abilities, without the Eternal Tome, that has a little aura to support troops. So the max level for the Apprentice Warden, they have a 30% HP buff. And I won't lie, I was pretty shocked when I saw that. I was kind of expecting 10, 20%, but 30% feels a lot, especially because there's no cap, right? With the Grand Warden, there is a limit to how much HP a troop can be buffed by. But I heard from Istanse, the kind of magic number is if a troop has 1,916 or above HP, I think, then actually an Apprentice Warden gives them more health than the Grand Warden. So what are you guys making of this new troop?
I think it's one of those troops, it's very situational. Like you say, due to there being no cap, it's certainly very powerful with certain combinations. Also, if you think, you know, you're looking at your tanky heroes getting that sort of 30% boost, that could help them with their push into a base a bit further. But due to it being, you know, it's 20 housing space, which is quite large, it's one of those, it probably will be situational. And also you need to remember that although if you overlap it with your Grand Warden, only the most powerful boost will apply. So if the Grand Warden is going to offer a greater HP boost than the Apprentice Warden, it almost becomes redundant in that situation. It almost needs to be out on its own or behind very tanky troops.
It can jump walls, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
I can see it having utility if you send it with your heroes, and then you can keep your Warden with the main body, so your heroes are still going to get that little buff, the little bit of DPS it does. I mean, it's not tiny, but it's not like amazing either. So it's nice to have that aura buff in two spots instead of just with the Warden. But also too, like, I know during all our conversations and then in his video today, Itsu was saying like you can get the same or better benefit with your heroes as an Ice Golem. Just throw in the Ice Golem out so you get that extra tanking plus the freeze effect. And it's, I don't know, it's definitely a trade-off for five more space, but you didn't really see the benefit through it. I didn't see any really compelling uses in that test war, but like I said, I didn't watch every single attack. I saw people try mass Apprentice Wardens, and that was, you know, goofy and funny.
I mean, as a avid Blizzard Lala user, I did quite like the fact that if you take an Apprentice Warden in the blimp, in your Blizzard blimp, that your Super Wizards can actually survive a bomb tower explosion, which they currently can't, if you land directly on it, if you, with the little HP, barely, yeah, but barely is better than not at all. And I will take whatever I can get, and I guess we can talk about this a little more, in a bit, or we can go into it now. The fact that blimps and blizzards have essentially had a nerf, and you do actually have that space for the Apprentice Warden without really sacrificing the amount of super wizards you can take.
The blimp changes are going to be
big. Mm, they're huge.
So I looked at, just to exaggerate, a CC of all goblins. It takes 16 seconds to empty right now. In the new update, that's down to 4 seconds.
What? That is mad. I knew it was bad. I don't get me wrong. I knew this update was going to be horrible for blimps, but that is mental. So that is a 4x speed increase.
Yeah, well, they really didn't give us a number. They just said that for all siege machines, the troops are going to empty out a lot faster.
Yeah, I mean, wow. That, and I saw someone saying in this chat that actually the biggest number here is Sneaky Goblin blimps, because they obviously heavily run the fact that you take, say, 20 or so for the goblins to, you know, draw out all the traps, outlast the tornado trap before your Sneaky Goblins come in. But is that even viable now? I don't know if any of you have tested it.
So yeah, like in the videos I put in chat too, You'll see like an old example and a new example. So in currently what happens too is I use 6 gobs and 4 wall breakers before my 3 archers, and they come out slow enough to trigger the giant bombs and die before the archers actually come out. In the new version, 2 of the super archers died to the bombs and only 1 survived. So if you're cloning...
I'm going to be testing that Sneaky Goblin event, because that is huge if you can't securely take a town hall, especially for lower town halls when hit-ups are really required. Say in mismatched Celery Wells, where you want your town 13s, your 12s to try scrape a 2-star off a town 15, Sneaky Goblin blimps, they are the game breaker. They are the game breaker there. And if they're almost essentially not viable, if a tornado track can actually completely render them useless, then that is a really huge meta shift. I would argue that honestly, this blimp change is one of the biggest parts in the updates. It could actually bring a bigger meta shift than this Apprentice Warden. In fact, it probably will.
I really like the change actually, because blimps have been taking over the meta for years now, and I always see it all the time. Everyone's complaining how easy it is to wipe out a base, and so yeah, this is going to open up a new possibility to new attack strategies, and I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I mean, excited, worried. Like, obviously, it's I guess healthy for the game that you don't have an easy way to take the town hall. But equally, you know, you gotta have some nice things in life, right? Some pleasantries. And it is a shame to see it nerfed this bad. I know it was nerfed. I didn't realize it was this hugely influential.
I think the fact it's coming with a lot of new troop levels, both some air levels and a lot of ground levels, I think it's just an opportunity to give a bit of variety rather than, like Spence said, we've seen a lot of blimps over the last 9 months or so. It'd be nice to see a little bit of variety.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's also pushed forward by the extra levels for the War Wrecker and, oh my god, forget the Siege. What was the Siege you got?
Stone Slammer.
Stone Slammer, thank you. I mean, I guess that's part of their effort to push forward a blimp-free world in Clash of Clans. But we will have to see. So, were there any other balance changes that really stood out to you guys as possibly bringing a big meta shift?
There was actually another one that I was really happy with, and it was all spell towers have been nerfed. Rage Tower, most of all, actually. Not only did it get a reload time increase by 20 seconds, but its damage increase got reduced from 100% to 90%, which is a huge change for both of those.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly thankful. I always thought, for example, the invisibility spell, which has now got a 10 second increased recharge time, if I'm right saying, was it 20? 1, 2.
10.
You know, I always, 10, thank you. I always got, like, scared by how quickly it recharged. You know, I'd trigger it and think, okay, I can get my heroes in quickly, take the town hall. Oh, my bloody hell, it's already recharged. So that is definitely a welcome change.
Yeah, and that stays on the... on the pattern of really giving an offense a big push this update. We don't have to really worry about spell towers anymore as much as we did before.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really hear anyone calling for them to be nerfed, I won't lie. I mean, everyone knew they were hard to deal with sometimes, but that was kind of the charm of Channel 15. But I guess, like Ninja said earlier, this is an offense update. This is meant to make people triple more, and it kind of just leads into that. Is there any other balance changes that I've kind of mentally missed that were really significant? Or were those the main ones right there?
I think those are the main ones. Obviously, the level 9 miner got a bit of a HP buff. Mm. It wasn't huge, but, you know, a buff's a buff, and help with those hybrid attacks at Tunnel 15.
Was the rage spell reduction in the first version of the build that we got? Because I don't remember it.
I can't remember.
So I know, like, it's kind of rare to see, like, nearly unanimous agreement on balance changes in that creator chat. But I know a lot of the initial feedback was, the recharge time nerf doesn't do enough So it, and then it was after that when they finally added it to the note, to the sneak peek patch notes, that we saw like the rage effectiveness got a reduction too. So it's nice to see them actually listen, especially when it's like nearly unanimous feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the problem with the rage tower wasn't the recharge time, right? It was the fact that when it was alive and kicking, and it was honestly terrifying. It rage multis, rage scatters, rage eagle are horrific. So hopefully they'll be a little bit less terrifying now. But we did get some more things announced on St. Peek's Day, aside from the new troop and the balance changes. And I know, Rick, you are very, very passionate about this topic. And that is the new League Cosmetics, the new League shop. Or not the new League shop. The League shop has some new cosmetic skins. We have a King, Warden, RC, and Queen skin, purchasable with 2,000 League medals, and a War scenery, which costs 2,400. Which is a lot. Rick, air your grievances.
So, you two boners didn't speak up and agree with me in there, so I got a bone to pick with you. So, like, I'm baffled that I'm the only one who's saying, hey, this is ridiculously expensive. This is bananas. 10,400 League medals to buy the whole set and the scenery. If you're in Champs 1, which not a lot of people are, it's the smallest league. If you're in mid champs one, that's 22 months of inward league medals that you're not buying any hammers. You're not buying anything else out of the shop just to get these skin sets. If you're a more average player down in Crystal League, it's 3 years of CW Wells to buy them all. It's bananas. I know, like, Itsu kind of said, oh, hey, yeah, like Itsu said they're too expensive. But he was kind of like, and he wasn't passionate about it as I am, but. Like, I put that in the creator chat expecting, you know, like, not like a parade, but I did expect agreement.
Ninja, why do you stay silent? Why didn't you back Rick up?
That's my bad. Because I did say, Rick reminded me at like 2 a.m. one night this week that we should have spoken up about it. And I said, I'll do it in the morning. And then I woke up and forgot. This has been a really tight turnaround, this update has. So I've been sort of balls deep in numbers for the last 3 days, so I've not been paying as much attention as I normally do. But he's right, they are expensive. You are gonna have to pick and choose, like, pretty much which skin you get anytime soon. But on the flip side, I mean, they do look pretty good.
Yeah, they look awesome.
They do look good.
The RC one's trash, but the King and Queen are amazing, and the scenery's awesome. Yeah, Warden's pretty cool too, I guess.
If they were bad skins, I wouldn't care about the price. But see, I'm not that passionate about the big price, and that's because for once these are going to be some actually genuinely rare skins in the game. Not a lot of people are going to have these. We have gold skins and legendary skins. We know the prices for those, but these are going to be hard to get. We're not going to see someone with all the skins and the sceneries for probably like 9-10 months.
Yeah, but Clash of Clans isn't really the game where people pride themselves on having really rare items. Like, take, for example, CSGO. You know, people will pay hundreds for a knife on there. But there isn't that kind of culture in Clash of Clans, and I would actually much rather people have skins than have them as this really rare thing, because, let's be honest, you don't really look at people's skins obsessively and go, oh my god, that's insane, they have that. You buy skins for yourself to enjoy more.
2,000 League medals for a skin is 12 hero hammers you could have bought.
It's bananas. I don't know what, unless you are literally rolling in League medals and there is an update on the horizon for years. I mean, truthfully, I will probably only buy these skins once the game is dead, once the game is no longer receiving updates, because I literally cannot justify spending that many League medals on skins.
It's bananas.
I mean, it is nice that, because if you've been a max Tamil 15 for the last 5 months, like probably a lot of people have, you are sat on max medals. Having something to spend them on is nice, but maybe the numbers are a little bit out of whack.
Like, I get wanting them to be a little more exclusive too, because like the Champs 1 statue is not at all. Like, people, you can hop into a clan for 4 seconds and buy that thing. And yeah, it's expensive, but, you know, whatever. Like, and also, it doesn't even look that cool. But like, the skins are good. Like, I would like to see like them cost 1,000, and maybe the scenery 1,500. I think that's closer to fair. It's still expensive. It's still a massive sacrifice. But I don't know. It's wild, and I am disappointed.
Very displeased. Well, I think that's kind of brought us to the end of all the update stuff, which is kind of perfect because we have got almost exactly 1 hour in. But is there any kind of final notes you wanted to add about the update from any of you guys, Ninja? Any wonderful insights you've been bottling up?
I just think the two updates we've had this year in quick succession from the team have been cracking. I think, you know, it's been a great year for the game so far this year, and I'm looking forward to what the next two updates are.
Yeah, going off that, these last two updates have been really good. Yeah.
Well, I would like to quickly appreciate the huge turnaround Supercell had for getting this update out. I mean, it hasn't even been a month yet since we've had BB2. Maybe it has. I don't know. Time's hard. But it's been around a month. And I know we were talking last pod about whether the builder base update was, or the pod before, whether it was the longest gap we've ever had between two major updates. But I mean, I don't expect any of you to have this number to hand, but this could very well be the shortest time between an update we've ever had.
For content wise, and if you don't ignore balancing stuff, I think it's definitely the quickest major content update we've had in the history.
Right on the back of like one of the longest delays we've had too between major updates.
Yeah, I mean, they were clearly working on this in the backgrounds as well as builder base. It's not like they just thrash this out all in about 2 weeks. This was happening at the same time.
Just one guy just adding like plus one to all the stuff. Just winging it. Real quick, there was a question for Ninja. Do you personally think the potions will really affect the game more than before?
I think depending on how we can acquire the pet potion, we're not 100% sure yet. If you can buy them from the trader shop each week, like the other potions, I think that will be a big help because, I don't know, well, I imagine like everyone else, the pets were always the last thing I had with the last round of Town Hall 15 stuff, and at Town Hall 14 the same. So being able to boost those along so you're not waiting on the pet house as much, I think it will help people get those pets upgraded quicker. I mean, the build a star jar, I mean, less so, because I think if you're at a decent league in the builder base, the daily bonus is enough to keep your two builders ticking over. But I think the pet potion especially, that will really help people progress.
100%.
All right. Do you guys have any shout-outs before we go?
I mean, I would like to thank my clan leader and other members of my clan for listening in today. The whole grind is, sorry, the whole pit. Can't speak today. Not having a good day for names. The whole pit.
Spencer, anything?
Shout-out to Ninja. Thank you so much for coming on again to do another podcast. Your insights are always valued. And for everyone listening, use code Ninja.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always happy to come and talk shop with you guys.
Yeah, please do. It's quite nice not being the only yank in the call.
Yeah, I know. I really appreciate you taking all my random late night gin-fueled questions about the game and getting back to me really soon. So thanks again for joining us, too. I do want to shout out, if you guys like the math behind a lot of this stuff too, there's another podcast, pretty new, run by Trample Damage, called Inside Clash with Trample Damage. You can find it on Spotify only right now. He's looking at it on Apple soon, so go bug him about it. Until then, we're just going to call it a Spotify exclusive because it sounds better than Trample's too lazy to put it on Apple. I say there's another awesome podcast too. A couple of the guys have been in chat. The Clashuals, run by Big B, if you've seen him typing today. Clashman 9 and Zero Remorse. Those guys are awesome. They put on a really hilarious podcast every Friday. So go ahead and check them out too. That one has video, so you can find them on YouTube. Makes it a lot easier. And thanks again, everyone who has hung out and asked us questions and joined us here. If you guys don't have anything else, we can say goodbye and end it.
I'm all good. Just want to say also another thank you to Ninja, for as I'm the only one who isn't, so thank you. It's always great to have you on. And I think that just about does us. So you can all find this podcast on Spotify, on Apple, on everything, if you want to listen to it again for whatever reason. And hope you enjoy the updates. We'll see you all again in 2 weeks, I think, at the normal time on Friday. We'll see you all then.
All right, bye.
Cheers, guys.